have a question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been resmerized.
right, we're back on The Price is Right here. That's what it sounds like, man.
It's music.
I don't know what it's porn. I don't know whether it's The Price is Right. I don't know what it is, man.
Look at
Will go.
Oh, man.
Look at him hump that table.
We have Phobos on the line.
Yes, he is. Hello, Phobos.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, it's so much easier to hear through the headphones, you know? I like that.
I think it's because we're going deaf.
Yeah.
I know I am.
In my case, so.
Phobos is here for another tongue lashing.
Yeah, we're going to
actually, it's the other way around.
Let's see how we can beat up this questioner.
We're gonna try to stump Phobos again this week.
I have to say Gary didn't email me, so
I think he's angry.
This contest is making enemies. We are getting enemies.
I'm in the chat room.
To pop in and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. I didn't mean it."
All right, hit him.
All right. What the dilemma is, Phobos, is that the question came in. Unfortunately, it's more of a trivia kind of question.
We don't want that.
And we don't want trivia kind of questions. So first, I'm going to give you the question as it was written. Okay?
And then we're
going to
get a good laugh.
And we're going to get a good laugh out of it. No. I'm going to give you the question as it was written, and then we're going to come up with another question. Okay? And I need Scott L.'s help with this. Okay.
Thanks.
First, listen to the question as it was written. Okay, so don't answer anything yet.
Okay.
Unless you know it.
Yeah, if you know it, it's going to be a bigger slap in the face.
This question came from our very own Steve at Nexus Domain.
Okay.
Okay. So he was just on.
Yeah, he was just on before you.
He says, "Hey, Doug, I have a question to stump Phobos with on GT. Ghostly talk. It is as follows. What were the beings of light called in ancient Egypt?"
Beings of light called in ancient Egypt.
What were the beings of light called in ancient Egypt?
That's very trivia.
It's excruciatingly trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I did some study.
Type question.
Yeah, that's a trivia type question.
Yeah.
However, I did some studying, and I talked with Steve about it. I did some studying on it. I actually found out, I came up with a completely different answer than he had. So I don't like the, no, he doesn't have the answer on here.
Okay.
I don't even remember.
Do you have the answer on?
The answer that I read, because I looked on, okay. I searched everywhere, and the beings of light were actually there were two people in ancient Egypt, the priest and priestess,
mm-hmm.
of, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, of Thoth, T-H-O-T-H.
Thoth.
Thoth. They were called the beings of light. However.
When the finger comes up.
Steve had a different name for them, okay? I don't want to know the name of them, okay? But I want to know what you know, Phobos, about ghosts. In ancient Egypt, what did they think of ghosts? How were ghosts portrayed? How were they thought of? Were they even thought of? What were ghosts?
Okay. Well, within the ancient Egypt, I'm assuming we're talking about the pyramid times, which is, of course, Scott's favorite time. So
I loved it back then, man. It was just a hoot.
It was a lot of work.
Dude, we partied hard. Oh.
Well, the ancient Egyptians had basically, like a lot of ancient societies, they had a faith-based system which was partially, at least, astrological. They were, or at least believed to be, having a system which is saying, okay, they've got people from other star systems who've come to the planet and all the rest of it. But the most successful religions have all been based on the study and examination of the stars. So, in a way, all of the old religions were astronomical in their basis.
Mm-hmm.
That actually makes perfect sense, because if you do actually study astronomy, you begin to learn the seasons and then you become good farmers. So any cult that learns anything about the sun, the moon, the stars, they become good farmers. It's a byproduct, a spin-off, and mm-hmm. of course that makes them successful. The Egyptians were very successful. They had surplus capabilities, considering they were living in a desert, to actually do a lot of things such as the construction of fuck.
Yeah, exactly. You just finished my sentence I was thinking of right there.
Yeah.
That's what gave them the time to do all these cool things like building pyramids.
Directly on with what you were saying, though, about their religion. Now, they believed, or at least as far as the archaeologists are concerned, they believed that their pyramids would just temporary repositories where their souls were going to be transferred to the stars. We're talking specifically about towards Orion's belt and I'm trying to think of the other one now. But the main point was that their souls were supposed to leave the pyramids, and that's all the shafts and so on. It was all meant to assist their departure to the afterlife.
That's what they basically...
Orion or wherever.
There was a certain... I forgot what they called it. Oh, now my brain stopped too, Bobo.
Well, okay.
But the pyramid itself, well, the Cheops pyramid.
Preserving of the body and so on. When they're talking about the ghosts, now, I suppose, strictly speaking, from that interpretation, they don't really think that you turn into a ghost because your body is still containing your soul until some point way off into the future. Since a ghost is meant to be a disembodied soul, from that aspect at least, I would say that they wouldn't have gone by what we would define as ghosts. But I may have missed something, so I'll pass something back to you and see what we get.
Well, it makes sense. Beings of light were supposedly, there's a name for them, I've forgotten it, it doesn't really matter. They were supposed to be the equivalent of ghosts in our society, though. They were although I have to say, I don't believe that these beings of light were disembodied spirits. And I did pose the question as ghosts, which are in our culture, modern culture, disembodied human spirit.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're going to be right there.
Well, we are differentiating from the Ra and all the ones which were meant to be men, like men gods. The gods have bred with humans or whatever mixture you want to put it with.
Building the pyramid was a reincarnation machine. That's basically... That's the contemporary belief on the non-fringe side of the equation as far as studying the pyramids, the archaeology of the pyramids. So what they did believe, like you did mention, Phobos, the shafts that were built into the pyramid, there's been a lot of theories on that, and they finally come to the conclusion that those shafts were designed for King Khufu's soul to float out, and they were fixed right into a certain... God, I wish I remembered which...
Well, actually, if I'm on the right track, is what you were about to say, you know that the three pyramids of Giza are meant to be a representation...
Of the Orion Belt.
Belt.
Yes, yeah. Orion's Belt.
The fact, that has a lot of meaning to me, because remember me phoning in a while back and mentioning about a crop circle I found?
Uh-huh.
That was three circles, two and one smaller, where the third one was offset slightly.
Uh-huh.
In other words, they were in the same sort of proportion.
Same configuration as Orion's Belt, yes.
Pyramids of Giza.
Uh-huh.
So when I saw the Pyramids of Giza explained, I sort of saw a parallel there. I thought that quite interesting. But this was a documentary actually, what they were saying is that the arrangement of the pyramids may have been trying to, using the geological surfaces and the artificial structures, trying to replicate some sort of ground-based map of the stars.
Yes.
It's not proof because
actually Robert Bevall in his book the Orion Theory, I believe, I have the book at home. That whole book is based on that theory that we're talking about right now, and that was the bottom line. They're saying that
Hulk the other guy, wasn't
that? Yeah, I'm trying to think. Robert Bevall was the main writer for the book, but that was their main theory, is that the pyramids of Giza were supposed to be a representation of Orion's Belt. And that those shafts, well, the shaft coming from Cheops' pyramid, was fixed right in the center of Orion's Belt, too. I believe there was a name for that also where it was fixed at. It's escaping me right now. It is in that book, though. It's a good book to read, too. But, Doug...
The mummification process was basically to house the soul. It wasn't anything to do with the body. It was to house the soul. I might be wrong there, but that's how I understood it.
The mummification process to house the soul.
Why did they put the bandages around the dead bodies?
Well, they mummified everything.
They mummified cats.
They mummified birds.
They buried everything with them. could qualify the bodies and that, but they wouldn't have... they weren't expecting reanimation, though, because they're talking about these shafts.
Uh-huh.
They were too small for people to climb up, so...
But not a soul.
No way the body was going to be reanimated and go up that
path. Physically reanimated. But a soul could fit through there, though.
There's...
Hypothetically speaking.
There's a fight going on in the chat room.
What's going on? What happened?
Whether or not... because I reworded the question, right?
And you got us in big trouble, didn't you?
I did. But what happens is... Oh, the beings of light were called Net-Jeru.
Okay.
Okay, they were called Net-Jeru. That's the...
But we can't expect Phobos to know that, because that's trivia.
That's a trivia question. So I reworded it into ghosts.
Okay.
And I personally think that... Phobos more than capably answered that question that
so
I
do
posed
I.
to him.
So do I.
However...
If I'm wrong on the specifics of my answer, then the question is on the prize, so to speak. That's the way I would interpret it.
Yeah.
Misleading information. Then
you gave an absolutely excellent interpretation of an answer to, you know, tell us about ghosts in Egypt.
I don't have my glasses on, so, well,
what
I wear glasses
saying,
anyways,
what
but...
What they're saying is... Scott K is saying to go ahead and for basically getting such an interesting question, even though we had to reword it, and say, go ahead and give Steve a prize.
Go ahead and Steve, for what?
I don't know, because I don't understand the thinking. I think that Phobos answered my question.
I know that Phobos answered your question.
Yeah.
Therefore, we said we're going to leave it up to Phobos, though.
That's true.
So I'm stepping back, and Phobos is going to be the one getting yelled at. Not
all
me.
Right,
it's Phobos' fault now.
I was just tweeting there. I was thinking, Scott's the expert on this
subject. There you go. Yeah.
Scott.
So what we want to know, Phobos? Okay. There's people in the chat room saying, go ahead and give him the prize, and there's people in the chat room, and there's me saying, I don't know, you answered the general theory question that I posed to you. So we've got two camps here. What do you think?
Do you think we should give it up?
I mean, I think that you're confident enough in your answer to say, nope, don't give him the prize.
But it's up to you, though.
But it's up to you.
What do you think, Phobos? Do you think we should give it up to Steve, give him a prize? Oh, okay. Look how happy he is.
It's very difficult.
Now we've stumped Phobos.
Phobos has got his little squeezy toy on his desk right now. That thing is just being strangled to death right now.
He's going, how do I do this and not be a bad guy?
No, do you think we should give it up, Phobos, or not? I mean, it's up to you.
It technically...
Because I'm telling you right now that your answer was more than enough.
Can we let it ride on the accuracy of the mummification process? If the mummification process was actually to capture the soul and keep it until the afterlife, then I did make a point on that. So if I'm wrong on that, then you should win the prize, because that's a big blunder.
Okay, let's do that. Then what we'll do is, after the show, we'll look up,
we will look it up.
You can go to your books and things like
that.
Yeah,
I will research that.
What the purpose of the mummification process was in relation to the soul.
And what we'll do is follow that up next week.
And we'll follow it up next week, and we'll let you all know what we come out with.
Okay, that sounds good.
That was a significant chunk of my answer, so...
Yes, it was, so I agree. And unfortunately, I don't have a direct answer for that, to confer that with you. The rest of everything you talked about, I am telling you, you're right on with that. As far as what research has been done up to this point, and what archaeology has been done to this point also, you're right on with that as far as what reading there is out there, as far as what truth we can get out of that. You see what I'm saying? You're right on with that. But the
current news for you, by the way.
What's that?
Talking about cloning, that was something I wanted to mention, that... It was actually in yesterday's news.
Wow.
The first designer baby was born.
Designer baby?
Designer baby.
That's the label they're putting on it.
You
good
mean
headlines.
They did some genetic...
But it really is. It's been a very long running...
You have a racing straight down the side of it or something?
what they've done is that there's been a couple, and they've been unfortunate in that their first child has had a genetic problem. It's probably going to die.
Oh.
Now, there's a cure, but it involves having another baby. The baby has to be a good, close match to the first child, and then they can transfer a little part of the fetus. In fact, it's the stem cells, those unique cells that can transform into any cell, basically. They're very, very good and they can be used in all sorts of therapies. And for their child, their first child, the second child could quite easily save its life. But the problem was, that was the main reason, if you like, for having the second child. That was the incentive. And there's a big controversy as to whether they should be allowed to have this designer baby. After all, they weren't just going to randomly have a child. They were going to have it artificially inseminated, and the right one that has the right blood type was going to be selected so that the bone marrow transfusion, or in this case, stem cells, if I remember. But the main thing was that the baby was going to save the life of the other child. And that is a designer baby. Now, it's not quite cloning.
Designer baby.
It comes from stem cell research, and that is spot on in the cloning field.
So let me get this process straight. You have the first child.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dud, basically. It's like, this baby is going to die. This baby has a genetic disorder. It will die. But if you have a second child, we can use the first child to cure your second child, so your child will grow up happy and healthy and normal.
Not the first, but it has to be a close match.
Right, so they had to make a bunch of embryos and find one that would be correct for this.
But we still have to have this first baby, though, right?
My question about that is, does any harm come to the second baby?
No harm comes to it, but what about the other baby?
What about the first baby?
Fertilized. The ones that are not taken through to full term. They're not even given a chance to born. You see, that's the pro-life argument.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, I'm gonna express a very strong opinion right now.
Uh-oh.
I think that's sick. I think that's disgusting. I think that's
wrong.
What, you
mean aborting the ones that...
Well, they're not strict. You can't... A woman will have many eggs that aren't fertilized, but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're going through a process whereby a fertilization stage is going through.
What's grabbing me, what's irking me is the first...
Creation of cells and so on, though.
Yeah, maybe it's not clear to me yet, but we're talking about having one child that has a defect.
Yeah.
It has a defect.
That's going to die.
It's going to die. We've had the child, though. This is a baby, right? This is a live baby, right, we have in our hands.
I think it's coming up to 5 years old now,
but this is a physical
baby.
This is
going
to
die unless a good match is made with their next child.
I
So then what they did is they picked and chose the fertilized egg that would be a close enough match for this baby. So there were undoubtedly, you know, some fertilized eggs that were not allowed to develop.
And it was contentious enough for it not to be allowed to be done in the UK. It was done in the States.
I think. What's up? We have a pop up about the purpose of mummification, Phobos. Give us 1 second here. But maybe we can get this clarified this week. What's going on? Why don't somebody read this out loud or whatnot? Somebody give somebody a mic or
okay,
something out there.
No, I can read it.
Hang on for a second, okay, Phobos?
This is exactly what we have. Are you ready?
All right.
The purpose of mummification was to, quote, preserve the body of the deceased as far as possible and to provide the departed with the means and accessories for the journey into eternity. That's from, end quote, that's from The Orion Mystery by Robert Duvall.
That's the book I was talking about, The
Adrian
Orion Mystery.
Gilbert. Yeah, from Jeff of Michigan.
That's the book we were talking about a second ago also. I liked reading about the pyramid stuff.
Okay,
I'm not a big mummy guy. But
all it does is prepare, or give the soul the necessary tools and accessories for the journey.
Well, when they've unwound these mummies that have been found,
yeah,
they found all kinds of stuff.
Like death masks and things like that.
Yeah, gold jewelry. Not on their fingers or around their neck, just literally wrapped with them. Put on there and wrapped around.
Unfortunately, that quote doesn't answer what is done.
It sort of hints that maybe the dead body was then just a clothes horse. It makes you wonder why you would need the body at all, though, because the body's not going to be used.
Yeah.
Faith is a really difficult
thing to
unravel.
Ain't it still for the soul?
We'll still look into it.
We're going to look into this. I want to make sure this is clarified.
Yeah,
but that's
another way. You could say that the body itself is like a friendly house, right? They're not going to occupy it. But if they like all the things that were around them while they were alive, then this is just one more item. You mustn't, in this case, think of the body as part of the being.
I have to say,
it's just one more familiar thing.
for the afterlife.
Yeah.
I have one thing to say, the designer thing, and then we're going
designer
to break.
Babies.
The designer baby. I can't think of a more noble cause to be brought into this world for, to start your life with, than saving a human being.
I agree with that. But
okay.
I agree with that, but why would it have to happen in the first place?
Well, the part about picking and choosing the viable, you know, the viable donor and things like that, I may have a few problems with, but...
I agree with what you just said completely.
But with the baby that, you know, was brought into the world, or they made this announcement yesterday, that particular baby brought into the world to save his older brother, basically, his or her older brother, what a cause. I mean, what a way to start your life, saving your older brother's life. I mean,
That child dies. That child dies in result, though. Am I correct?
No.
That child
dies. There's no operation done on the second child.
So they both live.
The bits that would be thrown away from the placenta. So there's no harm.
You know what, folks? You're going to do? Scott L. at ghostlytalk.com. I want you to, if you can find an article on this, I'd like you to forward this to me as soon as you can, okay? If you could do that for me, please. I want to review this thoroughly.
I want
to read this, because I feel another topic coming on very, very soon.
I do, too.
Okay.
You can take this into the cloning thing, as I said, because stem cells are being to make clones.
Yeah.
Please, Phobos, Scott L. at ghostlytalk.com. If you could send me, if you have an article on the computer or something like that that I might like to read, please send that over. I'm going to do my own research, but if you have something, please send that to me because I'd like to read that through thoroughly to understand it.
With that, we're going to break. Thank you, Phobos. We'll let you know if you were stumped next week.
Because, okay. I mean, you know, we should have that clarified because that's going to be an issue.
That's going to be a huge issue.
We'll find out.
I've introduced it there.
So, thanks, Bubba.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
We're going to break.
Thanks, bye-bye. All right,
bye
there. Bye. God. Fascinating stuff.
I thought we were going to talk about cults today.
I know, we missed it. We had a one-hour-long Stump Phobos.
Well, we had a half-an-hour Stump Phobos.
Oh, okay.
But this is just...
Let's see if we can talk about some cults.
I'm emotionally drained right now.
Let's talk about cults.
I'm going to bed.
Next half hour.
We'll be right back.
It's paranormal scientific. It's so good.
Little Richie's around here somewhere, and you know, I've been trying all year long to get him to stop bothering Res Miranda. She's busy. This is Richie. In this light town, no one's watching. Oh, I'm missing in my bedroom on computer. I was right and I go to her. Where's my Miranda? Where's my writing? Where's my Miranda? Where's my writing? 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 Where's my writing?
How did that kid get out?
No one that in all the years that have come to pass, in all the years that shall be, I see here red before me.
People in the haunted basement know what that means.
So far. Okay. I'm going to clue Lisa in after the show. And then she'll never go hunt with you again. Nah, she will.
All right, man.
All right. Here's what we got. This has been a really wild show.
This is really, this is one of those shows that really just kind of took on a life of its own.
It sure did.
And we have no control over it.
No, it's careening, you know, around corners and through.
Defective roller coaster, bad weld.
Yeah.
Off the tracks we go.
Welcome to Go Six Clock, an e-ticket ride.
Yeah, there you go. Well, do you want to talk about some more cults?
I don't know, we should. I mean, you've got a list of them.
Well, you know what, we didn't, I mean... The thing that I found interesting about cults, another thing.
I'm not bored to call in.
Yeah, where's that kid at? Where's he at?
He's in the chat room, and he's just not calling.
Oh.
Well, he might have called, but see, we have one line in the Honda Day.
We've had like, tied up for an hour.
Yeah, when you call, if it's ringing, you got to let it ring, because...
Yeah, we will pick it up.
We pick it up eventually.
We'll pick it up.
But if it's busy... That means we're already talking to someone. So that's how it works. It's there for you if you want it.
Well,
let's talk about another...
Well, I want to kind of continue with Jim Jones
for
a minute. Because, see, the one thing when I was like just looking this stuff over and just trying to get some info for us was, you know, what were the belief systems these people had?
Right.
They all had their own... not distinctive, but different type of belief system. They may have been similar in some ways, but they were different in another way. Is what made, you know, the family different as opposed to the People's Church, or the cult of the Seven Seals different as opposed to the family, or whatever you want to say.
Right, exactly.
Jim Jones and the People's Temple, for example, their belief system was practiced by the People's Temples. It was created as a blend of many different religions, really, and social theories. The theology Jones created combined elements of Pentecostalism with aspects of socialism and communism.
Wow.
Which ties right in with the political structure we were talking about earlier. Okay. Much of the religion that Jim Jones initially practiced was borrowed from the Pentecostal movement, and yet gave it his own flair. Which is that's like how I want to start Scottism right there. I want to start Scott-L-ism. Well, you know, you go to parties and you get a few beers in the end. Religion always pops up.
Let's see if this caller wants to be
we have a call.
Scottalist.
You've reached the cult of the Dead Seal. How can I help you?
Hey, it's Mike in Providence. minutes. I thought I'd tell you some stuff about Egypt.
Yeah, oh,
cool.
All right, okay.
Inform us.
I guess we're not going to talk about cults anyways.
We need to know about Egypt. Throw that thing away
and we'll go. There we go. All right.
We'll do cults for the rest of the month.
Okay.
We'll just keep doing cults until, and we'll talk about Egypt.
Mike.
I do want to know. What? Tell us everything you know.
Tell us.
Okay. First about ghosts in Egypt. I'm not going to try to answer Phobos' question. I'm not really a guy to try to stump Phobos. That's not my calling. But there are two documented cases of ghosts that I can think of in Egypt. One is the Pharaoh Amenemhat I.
Okay.
And
is that Old Kingdom or New Kingdom? Do you know? Shut up, Scott.
Towards the end of the Middle Kingdom.
End of the Middle Kingdom. Okay.
Well, no, towards the beginning of the Middle Kingdom.
Okay, that's fine.
I think it's 12th Dynasty.
12th Dynasty? All right.
There's a book written called The Instructions of Amenemhat, which are a lot of little quotes about how to be a good person, kind of like a Confucius say of the Egyptian world.
Okay.
He was a pharaoh?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
And at some of the... He was apparently murdered at the end of his reign. And some of the papyri that have the instructions of Amenemhat ascribe some of the instructions about how to avoid evil courtiers and palace intrigues to his ghost telling his children this.
And oh, wow.
Okay.
I mean, it. I don't know that it proves anything, but there's some people talk about his. Some of the sources talk about his ghost.
So we do have a mention of a ghost.
Yeah.
In ancient Egypt. Okay.
And the other one that I can think of is in something that was called an offering bowl that occasionally people would write their letters to the dead, and that people would write letters to dead people in the bottom of a bowl and then fill the bowl with wine and then place it close to their tomb. And one of them is a man who is writing a letter to his ex-wife and she died. And he's remarried, and he's blaming her for all the problems in his life because he believes that she's jealous that he's gotten a new wife and that she is,
interfering with the relationship.
Haunting them, basically.
Right.
Huh.
But I know a little bit about the soul in Egypt. And because of the kind of nature of Egyptian religion, a lot of the texts contradict from one time period to another, and different people, like today, believe different things. But they did. You probably heard that division between the Ba and the Ka before.
Yes.
So there was two forms of a soul like that. There was also when your Ka would reunite with your body, they would refer to that as the Akh spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few things in the New Kingdom, in the Book of the Dead, that refer to somebody's shadow, that ways to banish somebody's shadow after they've died.
I know with every pharaoh that came in to rule, for a fact, let's be honest with each other, I mean, these people were put up to the level of man-god to the Egyptian cult, to the Egyptians below them. But they were human beings, and as we know all too well, that each human being on this planet is different, no matter who you are. Even if you're twins, you're going to be different, especially in the way you think and the way you're moved by your emotions. And pharaohs were people too. And you did mention earlier, a few minutes ago, about, how things changed over the years as far as belief systems in Egypt went. And that was a result of the pharaoh, a different pharaoh coming in with their own belief systems.
Well, and also, I mean, the pharaoh didn't necessarily, he was a man god, but a lot of the religion was dictated by the priests. And priests.
Oh, yes.
So I mean, the pharaoh wasn't down in the trenches saying, believe in ghosts, or...
No.
Or, you're being haunted by your ex-wife. I mean, the pharaoh was, the man god in charge of the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably helped guide...
They had a very strong hand in that.
He had a strong hand in guiding the belief systems and the changes of them, but mm-hmm. he wasn't... Like the major,
But they would be, that would be the main influence on the change, though. There's theories about, I hate to bring it up again, but there are theories about the Cheops Pyramid. If you go in the Cheops Pyramid, there's no hieroglyphics in the pyramid.
Oh, Well, there's a heck of a lot of graffiti, and there is that one that...
Well, that's the Wellington Chamber you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's where the very top. I'm talking about, like, if you go to any of their pyramids, there is hieroglyphics everywhere.
Right.
They're talking about, I mean, one of the theories, which is it's not held with very high regard, but it's noteworthy itself, is that after they say that King Khufu may have died early. Theoretically speaking, they were in a race against time to get this pyramid done before he died. And he may have died before they completed the pyramid. And
then what do you do? Yeah.
Well, it could have been one way or the other. Well, we didn't finish the hieroglyphics, or it could have been the other way around. Because I know with I read the book about, I'm going to probably say the name wrong too. Mike, correct me if I say this incorrect.
I think that was incorrect.
Akhenaten. I always reverse the K and the H. Akhenaten himself, when he passed away, he built temple upon temple upon temple. When he passed away, they scribbled his hieroglyphics out.
Mm-hmm.
They censored him.
Wow.
They censored him because they didn't...
They do that with history books nowadays.
Well, yeah, they've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
But the specifics of his belief system was very radical to that of the traditional beliefs. And well, he's the pharaoh. We got to go with what he says. But after he died, here comes scrape him out, and you can still see the scratch marks on the hieroglyphics of his old temples. That shows you, though, you were talking about the changes over time, and some of these pharaohs were very radical in their beliefs as time went on, too.
Yeah, some were even from foreign countries.
Yeah.
There are people who came from Assyria. There are people who came from Nubia.
If I'm okay, call me stupid. I'm going to probably be wrong here, but I thought I read something somewhere where Cleopatra was actually from Africa.
Cleopatra was one of the Ptolemies, and that was a Greek era.
Okay, I read. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong. But I read something. I thought somewhere where Cleopatra herself was from Africa.
She was born in Africa. Egypt's in Africa.
Well, yeah, I know that. But she wasn't. She wasn't. What you were saying, they were foreign, though. She wasn't. You know.
Oh, of
born,
Egypt.
Yeah, she wasn't of Egyptian descent herself.
Well, she wasn't a pharaoh per se. She was a. Was she? I mean, yeah. Pharaohs were men. I thought.
No.
No. She was.
Wasn't she the first? She was the first pharaoh, I believe, to be a female.
No.
No, she wasn't.
There was.
I don't know my history.
Shepset.
What was that? Say that again.
Shepset.
I want to read that when I get home. I had that somewhere.
Mike, what do you do for a living?
I'm a grad student.
Ah, okay.
And I actually have a master's degree in Egyptology.
Oh, my God, really?
Oh, I have a feeling Scott L. is going to be getting your...
Where do you live again?
Providence.
You live in Providence?
I got my master's degree in Toronto.
Really?
Yep.
Dude, we got to hang out.
Yeah, we will one day.
Do you drink Guinness?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, man. We're gonna light up a weekend, man. I'm telling you right now. What kind of bars are out in Providence?
Sorry?
What kind of bars they have out in Providence? Are they hot?
It's not much of a bar scene.
You gotta come out here then.
So go up to just like do the rounds through Mount Pleasant.
So you have a master's in Egyptology?
Yep.
I was considering, I mean, I've talked about it down here in the Haunted Basement Studios of going back to school, and I wanted to get my to go back to graduate school for that itself.
For Egyptology,
yes. Or pyramidology, but there's not too many schools that support that particular type of curriculum either. But Egyptology, it's a lot easier to get a degree in that than pyramidology itself.
Well, it's offered more, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
There's two references to ghosts.
Okay.
That I know of. There may well be more.
Right, there could be more. But obviously, you know, now Egypt and the reign of the pharaohs and that kind of thing was approximately how many years? Like, are we talking 100 years, 1,000 years?
The whole, from one end to the other?
Yeah.
Well, you probably have the first pharaohs, like King Din or Narmer, probably around 3,500 B.C. And then... There were people who were calling themselves pharaohs. Like, every Roman emperor had himself crowned as a pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like every
But they stopped.
Sorry, Mike. I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Sorry, but no, I was going to say something stupid, but Doug told me to shut up.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. I apologize.
Okay, so 3,500 B.C. through these...
Yeah, through
Roman
Rome.
Times?
Through Rome.
Okay, so this is kind of a long time.
Yeah.
That's a rather long time. And because we're talking, you know, many, many centuries. So, and we can think of only two references to ghosts. Whereas, like, for example, in the past, like, you know, year, I've heard probably, 100, 200 new ghost stories.
From Egypt?
From here.
Okay.
Okay. So, ghosts weren't, like, an amazing part of their culture, were they?
True. I guess you could call it, draw that conclusion.
But it might not have been the focus of their religion, either.
Well, ghosts are not the focus of our religion. They're just something we talk about.
Well, yeah.
And write about.
They're the focus of our lives.
So we do movies about them. We do, there's a lot of
evidence. Well, they're a part of pop culture, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence that people in modern times think about ghosts.
I have a question for Mike, though.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah?
You have a master's degree in Egyptology, right? You said you have a master's degree in Egyptology, right?
This is true.
Okay, good. We have Phobos as one of our consultants on the show. He's like he's like the all-around smart guy we have, but he obviously doesn't have the expertise that you have on the Egyptian end of knowledge. Could we make you our consultant for the we talk about Egypt a lot on this show. We do. It comes up. If we need to talk to you about this, can we consult you on that? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So we're going to put you on the payroll, all right?
All right. Well, Mike, what were the net jeru?
Net jeru is a word for any one of the gods. They were called net jeru, like, you know, Thoth or Amun or Re or any of those gods.
And what were the beings of light?
I'm not certain what you mean by this term. I knew there were people who were called
the stump light now.
People of the sun?
Well, there was that, but no, the only reference I could find to beings of light were the priests and priestesses of Thoth, or
yeah.
Whatever. They were referred to as beings of light, but they were real people, and they were referred to as beings of light because Isis's robes, they would shine, evidently, on Isis's robes, and you could see through Isis's robes. Calm down, Scott. And can you imagine?
Would you cut it out? What?
I'm just preempting. But that's the story that I read about beings of light in ancient Egypt, which was, I thought, fairly, you know, trivia kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think we're gonna have to.
We're still gonna have to research this. We're gonna have to research that definitely this week. In a nutshell, though, Mike.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before on the show, me and you, as far as Egypt. It, you know, goes as far as the construction of the Great Pyramids, as far as we know, it was not an easy job. Okay, it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, it's true in its own right. A lot of people died during that time. I mean, and well, we're talking about carrying heavy, heavy, heavy rocks and piling them up into a pyramid structure. That's why I really want to go to Egypt so bad, because I believe, and you know, we've only heard. As far as we know right now, there's two ghost stories, so to say, from Egyptian history, culture. Doesn't it make sense to you, or as in Doug, or you, Mike, that a place like that, where there was a lot of death as a result of strenuous work going uphill, and we've talked about stairs
here. Yes, we have.
We've talked about stairs and hauntings of stairs. Doesn't it make sense that would be an extremely, extremely haunted place? Well, as far as we could tell. I mean, that's a hard thing to say. But, I mean, I think the likelihood of feeling something or sensing something or possibly getting something on film or audio will be very high in a place like inside the Great Pyramid or outside the Great Pyramid or somewhere close to the Great Pyramid or the other pyramids themselves. I mean, what do you think about that, Mike?
I think your biggest problem would be getting permission.
That's a given. We know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I'm trying to deal with right now, aside from the financial burden it's going to put on me.
Well, when I win Powerball, I'll take you.
What's that?
Win the Powerball.
I'll take you.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're gonna take me?
I've never been to Egypt, and if I win Powerball, I'll take you.
You've been there already, you said?
Never been.
You've never been?
No.
Neither have I. I have to go. I'm going to scale that pyramid, too. And I'm probably going to get shot at.
Yeah, you're probably going to get arrested.
They don't want you anything. I mean, you can't even fly planes over the Giza Plateau anymore. They won't let you fly planes over it.
You guys, I have to close the show.
All right, man, we're having fun.
I know, but I have to close the show because coming up next on Zero Point Radio is a brand new show.
Mike,
hang up on that.
Oh, Mike, we didn't want to hang up on. Oh.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike, sorry, man.
Because
email me, call
coming
me.
Up is a new show by our very own Max called Max Headcase or something like that. So anyway, okay. It's coming up after Ghostly Talks, and after that is going to be, of course, Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero. So
interesting show.
Power Monday. I had a great time this
Thank
show.
You, Mike. Thank you, Phobos. Thank you, Steve, for calling in and helping us not have to talk so much.
Yeah, it worked out very
no,
well.
No, Mike, email me. Seriously, we have to do some more talking here. Mike, we have Mike on the payroll now.
Yeah.
Mike is here. We have another...
An official Ghostly Talk consultant. Yeah.
We have Phobos and Mike, the dream team. Who's going to be next?
I know.
Who's going to be next?
That's awesome.
We'll We're not going to be doing anything in a couple months here.
I know. We'll just sit back and let them talk.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And we're going home. This was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.